My name is Jeff Bonzler, if we haven't met. I serve as the Executive Director of Life Challenge Ministries. I've been with this ministry, Pastor Jacob, almost 30 years. I grew up at a teen challenge. So, you know, you got PKs, preacher kids, and MKs, missionary kids. I'm a TCK, a teen challenge kid. I grew up with David Wilkerson, not literally, but fact is, was at his ranch when I was a little boy, when he had Dallas Holman Praise and their whole touring group. And just the fondest memories for me of growing up, having a front row chair, seeing what Jesus can do in broken people. How many of you saw a nephew or a niece up here today? A grandson, a granddaughter, maybe a spouse. Not literally, but someone that could be in your family. Yep. My cousin, my brother, my sister. Drug addiction is not a respecter of persons. It's not, you know, restricted. We know that by now, don't we? This is 2016, okay? Maybe if I were talking to a group in the 80s or maybe the 90s, oh, yeah, it's the people, the poor people on the other side of the tracks, inner city. We know better. Drugs is eating Livingston County alive. Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County, Washtenaw County. Drugs is not a respecter of persons. And by that, Tom, I'm talking about it doesn't even matter the family. You know, I meet some addicts that come from the best of homes. And then I've got to reassure these parents, you know, who are battling shame and guilt. Man, where did I miss parenting 101 or 102? It's out there. I've seen alcoholics come from environments that, you know, most folks would give $1 million, you know, to grow up in that set of family conditions. I'm here today to tell you that while drugs is not a respecter of persons, nor is Jesus. And our goal this morning, as it is every time we're out, is to infuse congregations with hope. You know, this is the first Sunday of Advent. And the theme of the first Sunday of Advent, of all themes, is hope. Advent. In case you're not one who operates by the church calendar, it's that season, that four-week season in preparation for Christmas, when we look back to his first coming in anticipation of the second Advent, his second coming. And as we celebrate today as the people of faith, we celebrate the hope that we have. Hope. You know, this morning I was thinking, these stories, by the way, they never grow old to me. I've heard more than probably most people on the planet, just having grown up in this and just traveling. And I have to keep myself from crying every time. And I hear some of your stories. I've heard them many times, and I just want to cry and weep. Like, this is unbelievable. I remember when I first came on staff, Carl, big guy, young fella, African-American, really smart, but got really, really messed up. His mother used to take him inside the shed, tied him up, and used to whip him. That was how she disciplined him. I remember Jeannie. Jeannie, a young gal who was sexually assaulted and abused over and over and over. Lori, you remember, by the way, my wife Lori, raise your hand. You remember Jeannie. She used to wear overalls and kind of looked boyish, overweight. She was really messed up. Didn't want men looking at her, didn't want men touching her. Really closed down. I remember another lady, Denise. Her dad used to put out the butts of his cigarette on her skin, and she had all kinds of marks on her skin. Yeah, that's one side of the tracks, but I could take you to the other side. Kids that grew up in affluence, spoiled almost, maybe not, but man, from certain perspectives, just had it all, but crashed their lives. 20 years later, 30 years later, up and down, nothing to show for themselves. Brothers successful, on their 10th house. Sisters, you know, nice families. And man, they're just bereft of anything and everything. What happened? What happened? What is it that will turn this world upside down? It's the hope that's found in Christ. And I want you to look with me for just a minute, and I'm going to close and turn it over in just a few minutes to Tom. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following. Three Christmas prepositions that I want you to zero in on. You know, prepositions are those words that introduce a noun or a pronoun, some kind of clause, some kind of phrase, you know, at and and with and in, to. They're just little words. I want you to see the power of three Christmas prepositions that come out of this story, a very familiar story. Matthew 1, verses 18 and following. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Three Christmas prepositions. For, to, and with. Can you remember that? For, to, T-O, and with. What's the first truth that I want to just remind you of from this Christmas story that you are very familiar with? God is for us. He's for us. He's for us. He's not against us. He has every reason and every right to be against us. After how we've belittled him and dishonored him and squandered his gifts and wasted opportunity after opportunity and cursed him over and over. The crazy thing is, he still loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is for you. Just last Saturday, 8 days ago, I'm taking my youngest son out to a youth group meeting. And I'm on the phone with one of our former members, Bob. And I made a call to him, and we've been in dialogue trying to get him back into the program. I've known Bob for almost 30 years. I caught him in a bar Saturday night, and he said, "I'm Esau. God hates me." I said, "You're not Esau. Stop it. We've had this conversation more than once. You're not. He loves you. And I'm one of the voices that he's called to tell you this. He's for you." "No, I'm Esau. Stop it." I was getting mad, Pastor Jacob. Getting angry. "Stop it. He loves you. He's for you. What more does he have to do to prove to you that he's for you? He died for you." That's the first Christmas preposition. He's for you. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, he still wants you. He's for you. That's great news. The second Christmas preposition is to. To.
God came to us. It's not like he was just in the stands applauding us. Yeah, great job. I like you. I'm with you, man. Way to go. He came out of the stands and got on the court. He entered into the muck. He took on skin. He came to us. He moved into our neighborhood. Is that awesome? The Word became flesh. When we couldn't get up to him, he came to us. Why? Because he's for us. He came to us. That leaves me with the final Christmas preposition. What is it? With. You know where I'm going with this. He's for us. He came to us. And he didn't leave us. Emmanuel. God with us. I must confess, I had a great Christmas, Thanksgiving weekend. Got to enjoy each holiday, right? And savor it. They just kind of go so fast. It's like I'm on this train going 90 miles an hour, okay? I have to tell you, though, I had to get through the post-Thanksgiving kind of adrenal rush. The kids came. We've got one that's married, and with his wife he came, and others, and they all kind of left. Lori and me and, you know, the other two. Some of you have been fed this pack of lies. All good things must come to an end. You know, you celebrate, enjoy it while it lasts. She'll leave you. He'll leave you. She'll die. He'll die. They move away. You know what the awesome news is? We're not orphans. He's with us. He's with us through his Holy Spirit. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message of the gospel. This is the hope that you and I have to offer. Thomas and Cody, if you guys would make your way in the aisles, just before I pass this mic off, I want to give you an opportunity to give the most precious gift you can give, and I hope I'm not out of line. Lori and I are supporters with Compassion International. I've taken a trip to Africa and seen what they do. I love what they do, and I love how they define poverty. We always think of it in terms of economics, finances. Poverty, true poverty, as Compassion International defines it, is an absence of hope. Just don't have hope. Don't have hope that you can get out of this. That there's a way around it, a way through it. Oh, you don't have a hope that you can get out of your stuck condition. Oh, God is for us. He came to us. He's with us. There's a way out. There's a way out. I'm asking you unashamedly to give a gift of hope. This ministry, our ministry, is a ministry that partners with you all, the local church, to provide hope, help, and healing. For those that have lost their way, your sons and your daughters, your grandkids, your nephews, your nieces, your brothers, your sisters, we're the trauma center of the local church. We take in those that need more than AA, NA, CR. Those are all great vehicles. God uses them. But some people, they need to do more than go to a couple meetings a week. Correct? They need to just get away and bask in the love of Christ in a safe place. And we need your help. For $35 a month, you can connect with one of our residents. We'll protect your privacy. You'll get a little bio on them. You'll get an opportunity to write them. If you care, you'll get an opportunity to attend their graduation. And in the meantime, you'll enable us as your local trauma center to continue offering the services that are necessary for people that could be seated around your Thanksgiving table but weren't there this Thanksgiving. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or Christmas time. Man, where's so-and-so? He's not doing so well. We need your help. And
I'm asking if you would consider, guys, if you would pass this out. For those of you who are at all interested, for $35 a month, you can sponsor a student. Just raise your hand if you would. And you can sign up if you care today. We've got a computer. We can swipe your card, make it real simple. It's a way, again, that you can help us continue to help other families that are in a crisis and men and women that need to get out of that stuck condition. Men and women who need to experience this God who's for them, who's come to them, who wants to be with them. Thank you again for your love and your kindness. Before I pass this on, I want to pray. I don't do this often, but this is nothing to be ashamed of. We've all got, you know, issues. I'm a recovering Pharisee, okay? You're recovering something or two or more. And we all know someone that's got some issues, maybe with drugs and alcohol. And those of you who do, I would like you to do something. It's a friend, it's a family member, someone you work with. You know they're really struggling. Can I ask you to stand? Because I want you to stand in proxy for them, and I want to pray for them. Would you be so bold to do that right now? Just stand. If you know someone, thank you. And we're going to agree in faith right now. Residents, you can stand too. I'm sure you got a pack of them. Come on, man. Heavenly Father, right now, we are standing in place of that loved one that's just missing it, missing the life that you dreamed for them, that made some bad choices, bad decisions, and they're stuck. And we just pray, God, that you would shine the light. God, break that spell. As, Lord, for my friend Bob, Lord, he thinks he's Esau. He just can't grasp the fact that you still want him after all he's done, Lord. There may be some out here, Lord, loved ones, that they just can't believe it anymore. They think they've done too much. Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, the glory of the gospel would penetrate their hearts. Lord, I see some parents, God, that they've got a son or a daughter, Lord, that's just, it's been a long road. We pray, Lord, for recovery, for relief. We pray for transformation. God, I just pray that you would use those who are standing, give them the wisdom, the courage, the strength they need to be a light, to be a beacon of hope, Lord, to be an intersection of grace where heaven and earth meets. Please, Jesus, we're looking to you. Have mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.